Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 139 of the Interviews Podcast. We're here for a double episode. We're here to talk about what occurred in Bologna a few days ago, Inter losing to Bologna in the 94th minute, a goal from Riccardo Orsolini, as well as what occurred in the Champions League a few days prior, a 2-2 tie that sent Inter into the semifinals of the Champions League against Barcelona. This is the official podcast of SempreInter.com. As always, I'm one half your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. So the reason we're doing this is had some trouble with schedules last week, things lining up. We are on two different time zones here. So unfortunately, it's been a little bit tough to coordinate, but we're here to talk. And unfortunately, it's been, pretty up and down for Inter in the last couple days, just as far as the discourse is concerned. So we'll get into all of it today. Johnny, I guess we'll go ahead and start with how you're feeling now that, as far as the competitions are concerned, into the semifinals, second leg coming up in the Coppa Italia against Milan this week, tied atop Serie A with Napoli on 72 points, I believe, and into the semifinals against Barcelona. How are you feeling about everything that that's occurred?
Look, we're in the semifinals, like you said, in the Champions League. I think that's a huge plus. I think a lot of people would have been very happy with that at the beginning of the year. Obviously we want to win. There's no denying that, but I think when you sit back and look at it, you're like, wow, I'm very pleased. Like, a quarterfinals appearance probably would have been enough for some people, to be quite honest, just for the financial aspect. Now that we're in the semis, we're going to go up against a Barcelona team. You know, we'll see what happens. A lot of things can certainly play out in different ways there. But I think that's a huge plus for sure. The Scudetto race definitely tightening up there. Wasn't very happy with yesterday. What I will not do is, like, you know, bash the team in any way, shape, or form today. I think you have to, if you're unable to sit back and recognize that fatigue is a factor, that these are human beings and not robots, I don't know what to tell you. But I think it's still very much in our control. You know, we said that we could go 8-1-1 to end the year and still be able to win it. They would have to win out every game. Like, so we need to calm down, stop thinking, you know, doom and gloom. We lost the game that, you know, now we can't afford to lose any other games, but I still think that we're very much in control of our own destiny, and we need to recognize that.
This is the hardest part for me. I do think there are some things, that some mistakes that were made against Bologna, and we can definitely get into it. But what is most frustrating for me is not even necessarily the result. It's the lack of, I guess maybe resolve is the right word, from this fan base when like it's not perfect. It's been the case, you know, all season. You and I have, in particular, we've been having this discussion on, you know, performance versus results all season. And I think a lot of people are using, you know, a result like what occurred against Bologna to, like, almost cover their own, like, cowardice and say, like, oh, we were never going to be able to compete on three fronts anyway. Like, you know, it's Napoli Scudetto to lose and all this stuff. Like, almost absolving themselves of, if things don't go right for us, which, like you said, Johnny, it's these people are human. It's been an absolutely insane campaign. I don't think it's I don't think it's right if we go trophyless. I don't think it's right if even the only thing that we are able to win is Coppa Italia. But I also think that that's very different than saying something like we were never going to be able to compete on three fronts. Or look at the squad depth. Like, of course, this is not going to happen. How many games left are there in the Serie A?
What is it, six? Six left, I think. We're at 32.
So six games left in Serie A, two games left in the Coppa Italia, potentially two games left in the Coppa Italia, potentially three games left in the Champions League. And now it's at this point in the season where it's, oh, we were never going to be able to compete on all three fronts. They're competing on all three fronts with there's only a few games left. Nothing is decided. Nothing, you know, the complete 180 that some folks in this fan base have done after what happened in the Champions League midweek and what happened on Sunday. Like, you lose in the 94th minute against a team that is competing. This isn't Monza or Empoli, the likes of whom Napoli has grabbed 6 points from in the last two games because they're playing relegation-threatened sides. This is the team that's competing for Europe, was in the Champions League this year, is one of the better teams in Serie A, like, to watch, genuinely, away from home. We've got Roma, Lazio on the schedule still to come. It's just, I don't know why at this point in time people want to take the other side and not back the team and support the team when they're doing something that is absolutely insane. Do you know that yesterday's game against Bologna was our 50th of the year, which is more than what we played the entirety of last year already?
Yeah.
With all the games that I've detailed are coming up for this team still to go. With all the injuries that, you know, we've had to manage and everything like that. I think what this team is putting forth is, at least the way that I was brought up as a fan, and if as a reasonable person that has an emotional connection to this team, I feel very proud of this team. I'm not stepping back or ready to give up because they gave up a 94th minute winner. And there are problems. There are absolutely problems, but I'm just feeling really disappointed in some of the bigger names, I guess, on the English speaking fan base on Twitter. And to even like say like fan base, it's like, listen, everyone can fan how they want to fan. I don't want to, you know, tell people how to live their lives. It's just, I wish that I saw a little bit more support for this team, despite the fact that it was a crushing loss, but, you know, not this idea that everything is thrown away, especially like we're tied at the top. We're not down. We don't have points to make up. We're tied. And it is going to take a huge effort, but yeah, sorry for going on that little rant. I'm struggling to look at Twitter the past couple of days because of everything that's been said and been going on.
Yeah, no, I've definitely tried to keep my interactions limited lately. I feel like we just keep repeating the same things, and it's not all doom and gloom, but some people seem to think it is, and don't know how to address that, really.
Yeah. All right. So let's first start with the most recent game, Bologna-Inter, and then we'll talk about Bayern and the Champions League and the outlook for the rest of the season. So I guess the first question is just going to be, from your perspective, what was the biggest problem against Bologna? Because I think there were three big things that we need to talk about. One, just the physical and emotional and mental state of these guys that you know, were on the pitch. We went with a really strong starting lineup to start. Obviously, Thuram is out with injury. Hoping that he's back in time for the Barcelona first leg. You know, Carlos Augusto over DiMarco, but the rest of the lineup is you know, pretty much our strongest 11. So whether or not that was the right move from Inzaghi, we can also talk about individual errors, such as the ones that we've seen from Correa and Taremi, those performances not being up to par. Bissek, when he came into the game, DiMarco covering Orsolini at the back post. For you, what was like the biggest reason why we didn't come away with any points from the Dalara?
Look, I'll say fatigue was the main reason. You could tell that there was really not a lot of energy, whether it was going forward, whether it was in the final third, it just seemed like there was a lot of that lacking. Now, people want to point the finger at DiMarco. Yeah, he could have done better there. To me, the real problem was Bissek. You are a monster in terms of size. How are you only getting a flick on that ball, and you're flicking it into such a dangerous area? It probably would have been better. Again, hindsight is 20/20, of course, but it would have been better to try to flick it either towards Sommer or try to flick it just straight out the byline. Really there, like, to flick it backwards. You just had to know you're putting it in a dangerous area. There's no question in my mind. It doesn't matter if you know that you have teammates back there potentially covering you. Things happen. Football isn't an exact science. Like, it's going to unfortunately land at somebody's feet. Now, this time it didn't. It just happened to be that Orsolini scored a wonder goal. I don't think that even if DiMarco's there, I mean, he has to be on his back to be able to have some kind of impact on that shot, either getting off or not getting off. So it's just these brain farts that Bissek seems to have, which is a big letdown, because earlier in the year, he was such a good player. He was a calming presence in the back. He was very solid. And now it seems that he just is making careless mistakes week in and week out. To me, he's the main culprit in this match, unfortunately, in my opinion. People may disagree, but that's how I feel.
On that specific action for the goal, I completely agree. I do think DiMarco could have done a better job closing down Orsolini, but how many times this year has Bissek come on late in games? And I know, like, one of the bigger Italian fan accounts for Inter, Hermes Messaggero Nerazzurro, he's a big fan of Bissek coming on for Darmian in the right wing back spot. You know, he did a whole breakdown on how the goal that Byron scored in the first leg was not on Bissek, but rather, I think, on Pavard not tracking his man. You know, and he's a big fan of, he thinks Bissek gets too much heat. And, you know, when I see him break it down, you know, frame by frame, what's going on the field, I don't disagree with him. But it has to be said, like, there are a lot of dropped points that have come from Bissek not being sharp. The tools are there. The physical tools are there. But when he comes into a game late in the game, I don't think he plays it with the same intensity that he does when maybe he starts a game. It's almost like he's brought in to close it out, and he tries to bring like a calm to the game that doesn't really, it requires more of an intensity. And unfortunately, he's been caught out several times. It almost happened against Udinese, where we would have dropped points there. It definitely happened earlier in the year against Genoa away, the first game of the season. It happens here against Bologna, where after 93 minutes of heading towards picking up at least a point, you end up losing the game. And I can't off the top of my head think of any more instances, but there might be another that I'm just forgetting. That's the kind of season it's been for Jan Bicek. There are rumors that if Inter gets $30 million, an offer, you know, in that range, that they go ahead and take it. Should we be giving the kid a little bit more grace and kind of remembering, hey, he's a 23-year-old, maybe coming off the bench is not the best thing for him in those situations? Or would you see a $30 million offer and take that to the bank and run with it?
Yeah, I would probably take the money and run. I think that we're not in a place where we can be patient, unfortunately. I think we do need to take money and run with it. We need to try to really mitigate what we're like the players that we are selling, right? Like if you can get $30 million for Bicek, that means you may not have to go and sell a Barella, sell a Bastoni, sell a Lautaro, right? Like if you're able to get a bunch of these players who may not be like starter potential or have like a serious place in this Inter squad, I think that goes a long way. I would much rather sell no one from the Italian core or a Lautaro, who is the captain, and sell, you know, off smaller pieces, whether it's, you know, Bicek, Fratesi, Aslani, stuff like that.
Yeah, I really like Jan Bicek as a player, what he can bring to the team. I think they, like, at the very least, Oaktree would be open to it, even though he fits the profile of a younger player. It would be a pretty big plus valenza. So I think they consider it. But I don't know if I'd move off of him at this point. I think I still have a little part of me that wants to see him in the middle of the back three, not knowing what's going to happen with the Devrai and Acerbi renewals, if it's both of them, if it's one of them. We need to invest in the back. It looks like the Luis Enrique deal is done. Obviously, we brought in Sucic. We need to invest in the forward line line.
That deal is done?
The terms for Luis Enrique are done between the player and the club. They're just defining the formula. Mm-hmm. We can talk about Luis Enrique another day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Bicek off the bench, it's not safe. It's not comfortable. It's lacking the right intensity. It's too many brain farts. And I think he was a big reason for, you know, that goal in the 94th minute. The starting lineup. So Inzaghi chose not to do a ton of rotation, which I think he's in a lose-lose situation here, because his alternative is Arnautovic is not ready to start. He's carrying an injury. He could have started Bicek instead of Pavard, although, you know, Pavard was able to give a 90 minutes. It's not like he played super poorly. Taremi not ready to start, just coming off an injury. Fratesi, maybe you could have started him instead of Mkhitaryan or Barella. Di Marco, I don't think it's a bad thing that Augusto should have started. Your only other alternatives are like playing De Vrij, which I don't think Acerbi is the reason we lost the game. Playing Aslani, if he played Aslani, I don't know. Like, is that really the alternative that people want? So he went with a full strength lineup, and they were clearly very tired. I thought they dominated the game in the first half. I thought for most of the second half, they were the more dangerous team. But they ran out of gas in the last 10 minutes. Was there anything that Inzaghi really could have done differently with the lineup that would have made the energy expenditure that this team was able to have look different?
Yeah, I mean, I think outside of De Vrij, you really can't, you know, do much else. You maybe could have played Taremi, but like, do we know where he's at physically? Could he have been able to give you 60 minutes? Maybe not. Maybe that's why he came in at the time he did, and we were kind of forced to play Correa, unfortunately. I know it's never going to happen, so there's no point in me bringing up any of the kids as much as I want to see them. And I think that, you know, some players who have had good cameos are deserving of an opportunity in the league, in my opinion, but that's never going to happen for whatever reason. Inzaghi just refuses. And
Bologna away is a tough game to give extended minutes.
It's tough to anyone. It doesn't matter. Like, Bologna away was tough when we were in the Scudetto race 2 years ago. Or three, whatever it was, 3 years ago when we lost to, choked it up to Milan. So, like, if you're already fatigued, it doesn't matter who you throw out there in terms of, you know, seniority, in terms of experience. Tired bodies are going to make mistakes. Tired people are not going to be able to play at their best and really drive anything and you know, offer you anything to be able to get a win. So why not? I'm not saying you start a Barenbrook or you start a Del Piedi or you start whoever, like, you know, or Topalovic, whatever it is. You don't start them, but I think that they could have given you a little bit of a more of a spark off the bench. We see that Topalovic is able to get into the box and score goals. We see that Barenbrook is able to have those passes that break the lines and are able to maybe release people. And who knows, maybe you get lucky with Correa's pace where he is able to slip in on a ball that you just don't know. Now, it may have been too big of a scene, but like, why is it that Italiano is able to play some of those young guys? Dominguez is a young player. He's getting, you know, starting minutes for them. Against Inter, it's Inter. It's not like where, you know, he threw them out against, you know, a Bodø/Glimt or something like that. You know, like, he's playing these guys in key moments. That's how you prepare your youth to be able to step up in big moments. That's how you prepare them to be key players for you, potentially for the future. If you refuse to play them or you give them, you know, minutes against a Slovakian team in a meaningless game, they're not going to know how to handle big situations. So I think that this would have been a game that it would have been a good opportunity to have them out there for 10, 15 minutes. Who knows what could have happened? We lost with the players that were on the pitch without the kids on there. So even if, let's say that we threw them on and Barenbrook has an error, at least he knows to learn from it. Bisek is still making the same mistakes that drive us crazy week in and week out lately. You know, like, and we allow him to continue to have minutes. So why are we not allowing other youthful players to have minutes or make mistakes or have the opportunity to make mistakes? I don't know. That's just how I feel.
It's interesting. You know, from Inzaghi's perspective, is there any worry in his mind of like, if I play the kids here and the result doesn't go my way, I'm going to get killed for it. But to your point, it's, you know, you weren't able to get the job done anyway with those guys on the field. I also think, like, in the same way that I was saying, Interisti would have lost their mind to see like an Aslani either start or, you know, come off the bench in a game that, you know, before the match even kicks off, Marotta is saying this is the most important game of our season, because at this point, every game that rolls through is the most important game of our season. You know, sans the Coppa Italia tie coming up this Wednesday. But yeah, is playing a Barenbrook more of a risk than playing Aslani at this point? You know, probably not. You know, and having to bring on someone like Fratesi late on, who it's going to be tough for him to have an impact when there's guys like Barella and Hakan that are completely dead in the middle of the park. Barella with some good quotes after the game, like, yeah, we are tired, but there's no excuse for what occurred, especially after you go, you know, like I mentioned, 93 minutes, you know, taking the point away in a really tough match for the rest of your schedule. And Inter has a few of those coming up. It's not, he said, the physical doesn't come into play when there's 2 minutes left. Like, you just got to be locked in. And I agree with him there. All right. Let's talk about the refereeing. Because that was one of the best sides to watch in Serie A this season. The same can be said for Inter. I think a big reason why that game looked as ugly as it did, there was a lot of like tic-tac fouls. There was a ton of stoppages in play. And I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, the referee not really having control of the game. What did you think of his performance? And do you think that maybe brandishing those cards a little bit earlier in the game? I'm typically not a proponent of starting to bring out the cards, but when a game is so disjointed by constant stops in play, you have to start punishing the players for doing so, or else you're not really watching a game. You're just watching, like, it was brutal. It was brutal to watch. What did you make of the referee's performance on Sunday?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty abysmal. Honestly, and I'm not saying this because it's recency bias at all. I really do think that that's the worst officiating I've seen for an Inter game so far this season. Very just reckless, very like you said, he had a lack of control from minute one in this game. I feel like a few guys could have had multiple yellow cards. And for both, like, Mkhitaryan could have easily gotten a red in this game. Lukumi?
Bukemon on Correa, that one?
No, I'm thinking of Lukumi with, he had a yellow, and then there was another one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was another one that he probably should have got a second yellow. And I think it was on a foul on Hakan. It might have been the second one that wasn't, nothing was called. I mean, a foul was called, but no card, which it just made no sense. Like, the level at which he was giving yellow cards, there was no consistency. And then just not calling some handballs, not calling some, calling a foul on Lautaro for, you know, the supposed, on the one that we could have gone up, one that hit the post. You know, I just think it was, if Taremi scores there, that goes to VAR, and then we, you know, gets ruled a good goal, which, you know, would have shown that he was just a terrible referee. I agree with you. You know, I'm not a big fan of giving cards early, but I do think you have, like, when it keeps getting that heated and that aggressive in the middle of the pitch, you have to take control of it. And I think some yellow cards earlier on might have curbed a lot of that. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that the referee is the reason we lost the game. But, he was just atrocious. And I hope that we never have to see him officiate one of our games again, at least this season.
Yeah. You mentioned the that action where it was apparently, was it a foul by Lautaro on the goalkeeper? Is that what was officially called, or a foul by Lautaro on Lukumi? You know, one of the two that led to the ball, you know, squeaking by them, and Taremi had a one-on-one. It was saved off the line by, again, Bukemar or Lukumi. I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Patrick Kendrick on commentary, like, one of the most outrageous things I thought that I could hear from a commentator was, like, it's probably better that Inter didn't score there so that we could avoid the controversy. What the fuck do we care about the controversy? Like, the game's got to be called the correct way. I don't care if people find it controversial, or Milanisti or Juventini on Twitter want to, you know, clip a thing a certain way, same thing they've been doing with Lautaro against Bayern, to make it look, you know, one way or the other. Like, we're competing for a title. Like, who? I don't care about the controversy. I don't care what the papers write or what fans say on Twitter. The game's got to be called correctly. What do you mean probably better that we didn't score there? Because you don't want to deal with you know, having people tweet at you, you know, with Inter, you don't want to deal with having to see Inter win a title, which it's clear, dude. And you have this built-in deniability of, I'm a commentator, like, of course I don't, you know, play favorites or anything like that. Man, the amount of contempt that he has for commentating Inter versus some of these other clubs, it's so palpable, it's so obvious, and it's frankly ridiculous. And I'm not, like, I don't really, I think you're a good commentator, like, when I watch you with other games, but I don't think you're a very good commentator when you're commentating on Inter. I think there's a very clear, like, you don't want to see Inter win, or everything that you bring up during the match, it's always like, Inter's getting away with this, or you know, just constant negativity about Inter that it doesn't occur when there are other teams playing. It just doesn't. I think it's really unprofessional. Again, You have the built-in deniability of, why would you ever question my professionalism? I'm just a commentator. It doesn't matter to me who wins or not. Okay, whatever. You could say, oh, you're just a fan, so you hear what you want to hear. I like listening to your commentary, but I think it's really weird when you're commentating on Inter games. The level of both Patrick and Pasquale, when they commentate on Inter games, it's like I'm listening to someone who really doesn't want to see Inter get a result. It's almost listening to someone who's pulling for the other team, or who's acting like Inter has all the excuses in the world to be winning. Look at your tweets. Look at your tweets when, you know, another team wins versus when Inter wins. There's something different there. Again, anyone who listens, you know, if this gets Patrick gets wind of this, and of course there's going to be the, you know, deniability and the how can you question my professionalism. I really don't care. Like, I'm listening to what I'm listening to. It's super annoying. If you care about your job, and there are a lot of Interisti, I promise you there are a lot of Interisti, because we talk about it, that can hear the contempt that you have for Inter. I think it's, you know, it's you not being professional. You should take it on the chin and maybe listen to, like, oh, this is what I sound like. We know it's what you feel like. We know it's what you feel like. Even during the Euros, like when you comment on Inter players and, oh, they should have done better here, like that, you know, it's palpable for me. I can definitely hear it. You know, I tried not to be emotional. I try to be rational, but I can hear it in the words that you're saying and the choices that you make. I don't know if you feel the same way, Johnny, but it's pretty annoying for me. No, of course, turn off commentary, whatever it is, but
it takes off. It honestly turns me off from watching the game, honestly, when I hear that he's the one on it. His clear disdain. And listen, I get that he worked for Milan. I understand that. But then you shouldn't be put on the world feed and having, you know, Inter games. You just shouldn't be. It's ridiculous that we have to listen to this blatant bias week in and week out when he has our games. And it just kind of, like, what it's doing too, it's giving neutral fans who are watching the game ammunition. Like, oh, see, even the commentator sees, you know, that Inter get away with this and all this stuff. And, you know, I see Juventini who are just, you know, on Twitter just trolling and talking all this trash and stuff. And it's like, Patrick's just fueling that fire for them and giving them, you know, these stupid takes that it just makes the game not enjoyable for me. And I wish I was aware that I could switch to the Italian feed if I wanted to when watching the game. Like, I could just have that commentary. That'd be actually like a really cool feature that Paramount could actually implement. I doubt it'll happen, but I just don't want to hear Patrick Hendrick. I don't. And I'm just sick and tired of having to hear it and hear his, like, snarky comments and snarky tweets. And, like, dude, we get it. Like, you just don't like Inter for whatever reason. Like, just kick rocks, man. Don't want to hear it ever again. But, you know, and the worst part is Pasquale played for Inter. And he still has these, like, wild takes. So
yeah, he just goes along with whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Yep. I just want to read this, the difference in tweets from like last week between what he said about Inter versus what he said about Napoli. Hold on one sec. Sorry. Scrolling down here. All right. So Inter beats Cagliari 3-1. And it's Inter can't afford to switch off like this against Bayern on Wednesday. But for now, job done and pressure on Napoli on Monday. Like, okay, I mean, we did win 3-1. Like, and there was no doubt about what's going on. Like, you win by two, but, you know, apparently we can't afford to switch off like this. Like, that's the way you talk about the league leader getting a big win ahead of Napoli. Sure. And then after Napoli beats Empoli, like, a relegation threat inside. At least Cagliari is, like, you know, clear of relegation. It's Napoli were excellent tonight. Lukaku with 12 goals and 10 assists. McTominay looking razor sharp and a clean sheet. Remember those? Monzo away next. Like, I don't know. Like, it's was that really was Napoli against Empoli really that much different against versus Inter versus Cagliari? Whatever. I'm sorry. I'm just calling it. I spent too much time on this.
I don't want to talk about this guy anymore.
Yeah. All right. Anything that you want to say for Joaquin Correa? At this point, is it like not even his fault? Like he the fact that he's available is the mistake here, and that should be on Beppe? Or is there anything for a player who like plays with not an ounce of pride? Not an ounce of pride, not an ounce of steel or metal or desire. You're out of contract. I think the only club that would be interested in signing you is Estudiantes. So like your European career is going to be over. And anything to say about Joaquin Correa's 60 something minutes on the pitch on Sunday?
Honestly, no. Just typical Correa performance, fluffing shots, turning over the ball, not being able to dribble past his man, very predictable. I'm over it. It is what it is with him at this point. Like, I don't expect anything. I literally expect nothing when he's on the. I expect to be a man down, and that's pretty much what it was. Lautaro's out there trying to do everything himself. He's fighting for the team. You don't see that from Correa. So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, and then Mkhitaryan and Bastoni subbed out in the 65th minute, both on yellow cards. They're both going to miss the next match, I believe, against Roma in the Serie A. Was that the right call, essentially, to make in that moment? There's been reports that they didn't have the legs to complete the 90 minutes. So despite the fact that they were on the yellow card, they were coming off anyway. But was that the wrong call? Anything to be said about that specific substitutions?
No, I think you have to get them off. You can't afford to lose them. In the game, obviously, I think Mickey is suspended for the Roma game. I think Bastoni is as well. But, if we got a red there, I mean, we still lost, but it would have been more obvious. Or who knows, maybe we would have, if we were down to 10 men, maybe we would have just been like parking the bus and trying to fight for our lives to stay nil-nil. I don't know. But I would much rather them not get a red card in this game, personally, regardless if they're, suspended for the game against Roma. It'll be interesting to see how our boy Inzaghi lines up for that game. So,
yep. Okay, in the Serie A, the rest of the rest of our matches are as follows. Let me just pull it up here. So we have Roma coming up next. Where is this? All right, Roma. Roma, Verona, Torino, Lazio, and that's it. Oh no.
Roma, Verona, Torino, Lazio, Cuomo. So Cuomo. We're at 33.
Yeah.
33. So yeah. Cuomo, okay.
Thoughts on our ability to do this? I don't think Napoli really plays anyone very good. But
look how they played against Monza, right? Like, I don't think they're gonna drop points. They should have had a nil-nil draw with Monza had Turati not gone completely brain dead with whatever that was, that attempt to punch that ball that McTominay got his head onto.
Torino, Lecce, Genoa, Parma, Cagliari.
Torino, Lecce, Genoa, Parma, Cagliari. Torino won't be easy. Genoa has been moving up the standings themselves. Parma have been a different team since Kivu have gotten there, so I don't even think that's an easy win. Lecce, who knows? I mean, they probably will be smoked, but still, you know, like, it's not over. I'm not going to be like a certain journalist and think that this is Napoli's title. Like, I refuse. I refuse to throw in the towel and say that we're out of it. We are the superior team. Yes, we are tired. I understand that. And that's not lost on me. But I'm hoping that Inzaghi can get the rotations right, give people the proper rest to be able to stay fresh, to be able to compete on all three fronts. And then we can walk away maybe with two titles. I don't think we're going to get all three as much as I want to win. If we get by Barcelona, I will say that we are going to probably win the Champions League. That's I'm pretty confident. I'm not even kidding. I think Barcelona is the hardest team left. Arsenal would be the easiest final. PSG would just be a coin flip, but I would feel pretty good about them. But anyway, like, it's not over. So please, like, let's stop acting like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. Napoli have won. And even if they do win, even if they do, for whatever reason, let's say they do win the Scudetto, Antonio Conte is leaving. Okay? You could tell by his body language. You could tell by his comments. It'll be another Napoli one and done, and then they'll end up hiring a guy like a Paladino who doesn't know how to handle all three competitions. And next thing you know, right back again to finishing in 10th Napoli. So, like, I would much rather be consistently competing for top four like we are, and really for trophies. Like, I mean, I'm saying top four, you know, being a little, I don't know, safeguarded or whatever. Whereas Napoli, you just don't know what they're going to do. And it's easy for them because they have one game a week. It really is. And the fact that they have dropped points the way they have recently, especially in the last, let's say, like 12 games, that's kind of pathetic on them. So let's not give up. Let's not throw in the towel. Let's not assume the worst here. And let's try to remember that we are Inter. And I truly believe that we'll be able to take care of this title race.
Yep. Inter's first loss in their last 14 games. Not to mention it was a 94th minute, like literally almost last kick of the ball kind of loss. I mean, if you're out, if you don't think Inter's going to win anything, if they fucked up this, you know, their season by, I guess, not focusing on all competitions and not prioritizing some, I mean, then just don't watch for the rest of the year. Like, no one needs your tweets about how you knew it the whole time that Inter, you know, didn't have what it takes. And most importantly, don't celebrate if they do pull it off. Don't.
That's exactly how I feel. If you're going to be negative week in and week out, be like, oh, we stink. Congrats to Napoli. Oh, they won. It's over. Like, then don't. I don't want you celebrating, sending the tweets out like you said. Oh man, what a gutsy performance by Inzaghi. A truly masterful. Like, I don't want to see it.
Don't do the oh, I was trying to jinx them shit. We all know what it is. You're trying to protect yourself by saying you called it.
Yeah,
that, you know, you're trying to, like, I didn't want to get hurt. A lot of these people, a lot of these, like, fans that are, you know, pretty loud on, they're scared of looking wrong. They're scared of almost like supporting their team. It's like, I knew if we don't win, it's like, I knew we weren't going to win. I knew we didn't have it. Like, yeah, if that's how you want a fan, that's so fucking weird. You're a coward.
Yeah, that's not how I want to be a fan. I don't want to be like, oh man, even during the banter era, I thought every game we can go out and win. I thought we were competing for the Scudetto every year, even when I knew Juve was better, even when I knew, you know, this roster was not up to snuff at sometimes. I thought because, oh, we've got Kovacic or we've got Icardi or Handanovic, that's enough. You know, like that's how I would go about it. And I still believed. If you're not going to believe in this team and not believe that we have what it takes to see this through, then honestly, maybe you're better off being a Bologna fan or a Genoa fan and just supporting a team that you have no expectations. You don't have to worry about trophies. You don't have to worry about anything. You kind of know where you are on the table year in and year out. And you just, you know, you have that existence and that's it. If that's how you're going to act about it.
100%. Like, you're like, if you support a team that's in run-ins to win things that are important, like, there's gonna inevitably be like disappointment at some point. But to not support during the final stretch of this season just so you can get out your I told you so tweets, like, you suck and you shouldn't celebrate. You just shouldn't. It apparently means more to the people who are willing to say, like, okay, we lost that one. Like, we're moving forward. I still believe. I don't know. For me, those people that deserve more, but whatever, you guys fan how you want to fan. All right. All the questions about this Cagliari game we got to. So we'll move on to Inter Bayern. So Inter is through to the semifinals of the Champions League. That was an incredible game. A really incredible game. I feel bad. I don't think, like, the real football fans, I believe, were tuning in to Inter versus Bayern, which was a much tighter tie between the two clubs that are respectively in first place in their leagues, as opposed to Arsenal Real Madrid, which is, again, like a big fixture. Anytime that Real Madrid is playing, it's a huge fixture. But that one was pretty much decided. I think the remontada stuff was a little overblown. And B, like, both of those teams are respectively, you know, second in their leagues. With Arsenal having no shot of overcoming Liverpool and Real Madrid falling behind by the day. So, you know, for the fans that tuned in to Inter Bayern, they were treated to an incredible, incredible game that played out in the first half very similarly to what we saw in the first half in Munich. Inter taking a little bit of time to get into their stride, but, you know, again, opportunities created. And then the second half, the spirit that I saw from this team after going 1-0 down, kind of similar shouts from Di Marco on Kane, versus what we saw with Di Marco against Orsolini, probably playing him a little bit too far out. Bayern goes up 1-0, and then Inter storms back. Two set pieces, Lautaro, the captain, with a celebration that, you know, shook all of Europe. It was
iconic.
Iconic shots that came out of that. Pavard getting his first goal in Inter colors against his former team, celebrating like a madman. Bayern comes down the pitch, scores the 2-2 off of Eric Dier's fake shot, cross header into the back post. That was just like kind of like not really much to do here. But then Inter closes it out, and they're heading to the semifinals of the Champions League for a mouthwatering matchup against Barcelona, who a lot of the people that are on TV in front of your screens seem to think that Barcelona is they've got too much. I see a lot of other things as far as Barcelona is concerned with respect to their defense. I think their offense is obviously really high-powered. They're going to be without Robert Lewandowski, injured at the weekend, out for a minimum of 3 weeks, meaning he will miss both legs against Inter. But Lamine Yamal and Rafinha have what it takes to shoulder the burden there. They also can get pretty exposed at the back. They don't play as balanced football as Inter does. So, Jenny, impressions of what you saw against Bayern last week, and then give me your feelings for the upcoming tie against Barcelona.
Listen, against Bayern, like you said, I saw a team that was resilient, a team that did not want to roll over and just accept their fate. You know, I think I saw a lot of people saying that they, here we go, we're going to go to penalties again. And I was like, we have plenty of time. Like, there is still time to get a goal. And literally, we come back, like you said, Lauti with the great goal off the set piece. The fact that he had that much time in the box was kind of crazy to me. But you know what? It worked out for us. Benji Pavard with his amazing goal. And you saw the emotion. Clearly, there's no love lost for him. With Bayern, like I thought he wasn't going to celebrate. He was more than excited to celebrate, which I loved to see that reaction. And obviously it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years really, that he hadn't scored at all. I mean, granted, he is a defender. I didn't expect him to be banging in goals, but you thought he would chip in here and there, kind of like how Bastoni and De Vrij do. So, but to score in that moment the way he did, amazing. And I thought that we did a really good job absorbing pressure after they did equalize yet again to kind of keep it at 2-2 for us in the game and inevitably be able to move on. And now we got that juicy matchup now with Barcelona. I think that if we have... this is the kind of game, or games, I should say, where you want to see Bastoni and Carlos Augusto on the left side. Much as I do like Di Marco, and I do know the what he's able to provide going forward, we do know his limitations in defense and how that could be almost like an Achilles heel for us, where teams, I think, will try to, especially when you have a player of the talent level, Lamine Yamal, where you can just literally attack that whole left side if they wanted to. Even though Bastoni has improved leaps and bounds this season as in terms of a defender, Di Marco's not there. And I think that would have been, that could be exposed if they decide to start Di Marco. I think he'd be great as a super sub when he's going up against tired legs and he's fresh and he's able to whip those crosses in. Maybe that's going to be, you know, the recipe for success in this tie. But I think it's really going to come down to, can we negate Lamine Yamal? Obviously, not having Lewandowski is going to be huge for us. Now, does that mean they slot Rafinha into the middle and they put somebody else out wide? I don't know. I really don't know what their game plan is going to be. I don't care for Barcelona, so it's not like I'm really paying attention to their matchups. But we've also seen how our midfield has dominated theirs too in years. I know that was 2 years ago now in the Champions League. However, those players are still there for us. Their players are still there as well. And I think that we'll be able to dictate the tempo the way we want if we play a little bit more, just a little bit more as the protagonist instead of the antagonist, really. If we're able to really just push things to Barcelona, I think that's when they'll be exposed. Now, that doesn't mean that we're overly pressing, but I think that if we, you know, when we allow them to make runs forward, kind of how we did at the Nou Camp 2 years ago, where we were able to hit them with counters on the wings, push the ball forward, get, you know, numbers in our favors. And I do think that their center backs are, you know, prone to some defensive errors. So I feel pretty good about it overall. It's really just going to come down to, are we able to limit the chances and the damage that Lamine Yamal can do? And if we are, I see no issue with us being able to move forward.
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. I think what it comes down for me, this conversation between Augusto versus Di Marco, is we're going to be comfortable giving them the ball for the majority of the time. I also think that's how Inzaghi probably envisions us being able to hurt them, is let's get as many of them, you know, in our half of the field, and then hit them on the break, because we've seen them get exposed on the counterattack, same way that we've seen Inter get exposed on the counterattack. But that's exactly why I mean, like, I don't think Inzaghi is going to want, you know, 11 players in their half of the pitch, 10 players in their half of the pitch, and then give them the opportunity to counterattack, because that's what they'll be good at. So if the majority of the tie is going to be spent with Barcelona having the ball, then I feel like the majority of the tie should be spent with Augusto and Bastoni back there, as opposed to Di Marco and Bastoni. You know that they're going to want to funnel the ball out to Yamal. And if you can stifle that and force them to find other solutions, you know, got to get Dumfries back as well for this tie. And it looks like that will be the case. But if we can take out what they're going to be seeking with Augusto and Bastoni, I think that that's going to be the way to go. I feel pretty good about this tie. I think when a lot of casuals watch football, they see things like Barcelona tearing up Las Palmas 4-0 at the weekend, and then thinking like, oh, they're going to, oh, or tearing up, you know, Dortmund 4-0 in the first leg. It's like, those teams don't play the way that Inter does. And anyone that says, like, oh, they're going to go super Italian defensive, it's like, that's not really how football works. Like, we aren't those other teams that leave themselves exposed in the back, because they don't, that's the only way they know how to play. It's like, we have the ability to, you know, create a compact game, and attack on the break. And also, our build-up play is not, like, I don't think it's less impressive than what Barcelona puts together either. they play very differently. They have to go up against sides that play them very differently. And I don't think Barcelona has come up against a side like Inter as far as, you know, the game plan that's going to be put into practice when we do meet them in the Champions League. So I'm really looking forward to the tie. I feel pretty good about it. And I think the other like thing that I wanted to talk to you about today was also what you've mentioned earlier in the season that you would rather bring home number 21 as opposed to number 4. Is that still the case for you? I've been pretty consistent all year that I'd rather bring home the Champions League than the Scudetto. I thought winning number 20 last year was, you know, big enough for me. Like I want number 4 now, especially given all the discourse about Inter, you know, in Europe the last several years. I value the Champions League at a greater level this year. We haven't won it in a long time. I want to win it. I want to shut up all the doubters and complete this project of what we've built. Also from a monetary standpoint, the Champions League is worth way more than the Scudetto. So that's where I am. Have you changed your thoughts on this season at all now that we head into the stretch run here?
Look, I hope people understand that the reason I don't want to lose the Scudetto is solely based on interactions with people on Twitter. Like, I just don't want a Napoli fan celebrating anything. I'm not a fan of their, like, they are actually up there in terms of my dislike of a team with Juve and Milan. And it has nothing, you know, like, I don't even have really, like, bad interactions with most Juve fans or even Milanisti. It's just the Napoli fans. Like, they, if you know anything about American sports, they are essentially New York Jets fans. They just run their mouth. I'm a Jet fan. Well, and look at that. You run your mouth too. So this is making sense. They run their mouths and they don't have anything to back it up. Like, like, who are you? You are nobody. You are irrelevant. Your club is irrelevant. It's frustrating when you think you're on that level. Your level is Roma. You want to beef with somebody? Go talk to Roma fans. Go talk to Genoa fans who actually have more titles than you do. Like, you're not in the upper echelon as much as you want to be. So my reason for wanting the 21st title is because it stops them from having. If Atalanta were going to leapfrog us, I probably wouldn't care. I would want the Champions League. And yes, I would agree with you, Alessandro, on the monetary thing for the Champions League. And now that we are in the semis and it's like so close and we were, you know, we were kind of playing with house money 2 years ago when we made it to the finals. Now it's like, I really believe if we beat Barcelona, we are winning the Champions League. Like, that's really what it is. So I guess I would switch my thing to wanting to win the Champions League more than the 21st Scudetto, because 4 gets you closer to Milan's number. I think it passed, or no, it gets you closer to Milan and Juve, really, which that's kind of like all that they are holding on to kind of over us. I mean, aside from the Scudetti from Juve, but we're the only other team with 2 stars. So it's like, I'm happy with that. If we can get closer to Milan now in terms of, you know, UCL trophies, that's great too. So, yeah, I guess if there's a way Atalanta could catch Napoli, I'd feel much better about this, you know, this title race going where it is. But obviously, mathematically, it's probably not possible. So if I have to suffer with some Napoli, if you tell me we're guaranteed to win the UCL and Napoli wins the Scudetto, I'll feel fine, because we go like, all right, cool. Like, you weren't in Europe. Like, we got the European trophy. We beat the best of the best. Like, you know, we gifted you this one. So Conte, you know, could leave and now you go back to irrelevancy. So,
yeah, winning 4 would put us past Manchester United, tied with Ajax, and 1 behind Barcelona, 2 behind Bayern and Liverpool. And that's, you know, I feel good about that placement. 2 behind, it's also Bayern, like
Liverpool?
Yeah, they both have 6.
Liverpool has 6 UCLs?
Yeah.
Ugh. Disgusting. So,
yeah, it's I don't know. Like, I think respect on a global stage for this team is really been lacking.
Do you really want that, missing. Though? Honestly, like, do you, because like, I think when you get that, right, it brings more eyes to your club. It brings more attention and desire of players at your club. I like where we are, where we kind of just hide in the shadows in the bushes and we're able to attack afterwards and then, you know, be a little surprising, be like the gritty underdog or, you know, the lovable losers, whatever you want to like call it or inevitably, you know, name it. Like, it's great that people recognize how well we played in the final against Man City 2 years ago. You know, and people recognize Inzaghi as a manager and that he was really out coaching Guardiola in that matchup. To me, that's enough. You know, when people can admit that and recognize that, I don't need to gain any respect from pundits because most of them don't know what they're talking about anyway.
Yeah, I mean, but also, Johnny, most of them don't value Serie A as a league. So another Scudetto, they think that we, you know, it was 38 easy matches.
I don't think the UCL is going to change their perception of Serie A teams anyway.
I don't think so. I don't think that a UCL is going to make next year's, when they put together who's going to win, they're still going to have Bayern, Barcelona, Liverpool, PSG, Real Madrid. They're still going to have all those teams above us as far as favorites are concerned. But two top four appearances in the last 3 years in the Champions League, I think that we should be spoken about as the best team in Europe because that's what I see week in and week out. And I want to prove it by winning the Champions League. I want to win.
The only team that's been in two semifinals in the last 3 years.
I guess
Real Madrid would be the other team.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Because they did it. Yeah, even though they didn't do it this year, they did it the last 2 years. So.
Yeah. You know, I'm Italian, carrying the flag for Italy and Europe. Like, I don't know. I want to win the Champions League.
I don't care about that either. Like, we already lost the fifth spot in the UCL for next year, so I don't really care. I blame every other team that let us down. And prevented that from being a reality. So
yeah, but I also like Johnny. I love this game. Like, love this game. Try to watch as much football as I can. Watch the highlights from, you know, every league. Put in so much to just stay up on top of every.
Sorry, you watch the highlights from the French league?
I do. I literally do. Be in sports highlights that are like 11 minutes long, and I'm sitting there with my phone holding, you know, on 2x speed to try to get through as much. I really do. I swear to God, I love this game.
I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying that's terrible.
It's a lot. Trust me. You know, my fiance is going to sit there while I'm in bed with my iPad watching the highlights every single night of all the games. But I am tired of the disrespect that's thrown towards football in the country that I support. I love this club and I want this club to be the best in the world. So yeah, I really want the Champions League. And if we're not talking about the quality of football in Serie A, like, you know, people sleeping on that, what has to be said is that the broadcasting rights, the, you know, the TV rights, the money that you get for winning this league, it's not anything comparable to what you get from the Champions League. So I want to win it. We need it. So that's where I'm at with that. All right, let's close out this show with some speak pipes from the Bayern game. So we can relive some good moments and then head into the rest of the season not being negative and believing in our team.
Oh my days, I'm so proud of this team. Oh my days, I'm so proud of this team. What an amazing performance. What an amazing effort. This is how champions are made. You gotta grind. You got to keep going. When you're down, you got to get up. You got to respond when you need to respond, bro. This is all our performance. Shout out to every individual. I'm not going to criticize anymore. We moved on. let's get ready, let's regroup. I'm not gonna lie.
I can't handle this anymore. That is Julian excited about it. I love it. It's funny to listen to these before the Bologna game.
Yeah, I'm sorry we weren't able to do that, man.
What a game, guys. Unbelievable. Just from the second half on, it was just... I must have aged like 10 years watching that game. But just so gassed at the end. And we played like a team that knew what they were doing. We remained calm. You could tell even when we went down a goal, Barella was calming everybody down and just letting everybody know we have time. And then we muster up these two goals on two brilliant crosses and then just use every bit of strength that we have to defend and hold the fortress. It was so amazing. I'm so proud of the guys. Look, whoever's telling you guys to sit out one of these competitions, you got to get behind this team. Right now, we've got the eye of the tiger. We're playing like crazy. We're calm. Inzaghi's got this team playing calmly within the storm, and we just got to get behind them, because if you don't, you might regret it. Forza Inter.
Intertwined there, and I do love that message of getting behind this team during this period of the season.
Spot on. Spot on. I love it.
Match, unbelievable result. Just when Bayern thought they had the lead, Inter stepped it up and turned up their game, led by their Capitano. Felt like we ended the tie a bit sooner, but all in all, did very, very well. Wanted to know your thoughts on some of the subs. Felt like Lautaro Barella deserved to finish the match along with Bastoni. Didn't like how Bastoni didn't want to come off, and Inzaghi still pulled him off, but he did look like he was limping. Looking forward to two great matches with Barca, a true test of what Inter is and has become. Again, your thoughts on the substitutions. Forza Inter, Pazza Inter. On to the semis. Let's go, boy. Gino Pinino from Vancouver.
The thoughts on the subs. I've been getting more and more hesitant to criticize these subs sometimes, because it usually always comes out afterwards that it's like, this player is actually nursing a knock and didn't have, you know, much left. I think it has, honestly, I think these subs these days are being driven a lot less by game state and a lot more by, okay, this player only has 75 minutes in their legs, or this player only has, you know, 80 minutes in his legs, whatever it might be. Which is the kind of situation that you get yourself into when you are competing on three fronts, you know, with a handful of matches to go. You're trying to keep everyone healthy. I mean, look at Thuram. You know, now he's the one with the injury. And we're working on getting Dumfries back. So it's like, and Zielinski in May. So, yeah, I don't know, Johnny, if you have anything to add to that.
No. Yeah, it's just tough to gauge those things, right? And you don't want to like risk anything major happening. Even if they are disappointed, I would rather them be disappointed than be hurt, right? So,
yeah. All right. That's what you guys sounded like a few days ago. I know the Bologna loss was tough to take, and there were definitely mistakes made, but we're still in it for everything. So I know the way that I'm going to be about this. I root for this team. I believe in this team. You know, things don't go our way all the time, but I believe, and I will believe in the trouble until it's over. Against Milan on Wednesday, Johnny, any, hopefully that game is played, by the way, because the Pope passed away, rest in peace. There may be some rescheduling and reshuffling going on, but your thoughts on how we should approach it just from a rest and recovery standpoint?
I mean, no rest, no recovery for me. Like, I want all-out attack. Let's try to get this. And I know we've gone up 2-0 on them in the past. but I want to finish this off and be able to go to the final. And I think it would be against Bologna, actually, if I'm not mistaken. So
yes,
it would be nice to pip them from a trophy after they, you know, kind of
did their best to pip us.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So let's hope for, you know, a team that looks motivated the way they did against Bayern, because I really do believe that there is a possibility there that we're able to get to the, you know, to the final and hopefully do some damage there.
Yeah. The way that I feel about the Coppa Italia, because I value it the least, is that I'm comfortable with...
Oh, no. Don't say it.
I'm comfortable with rotating as playing Aslani, like, whatever it is. I don't even know if Aslani is a defender for that. I'm comfortable with whatever it, you know, we need to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's officially thrown in the towel.
No, I haven't thrown in the towel. The reason why I'm saying that...
He wants Milan to win. Disgusting.
I say it because I believe that whatever combination we put out there can beat whatever combination Milan puts out there. I know they've played us like crazy this year, but, you know, it's a game-by-game thing. And I feel like we can beat them with, again, whatever setup we have, whoever we roll with, we can beat them. So, probably the first derby all year that I'm really not looking forward to, given that, you know, it's only bragging rights that can come from it, and a lot of other worse stuff can come from it. So, knock on wood, hoping for the best here, and let's see if this team can get it done. All right, guys, we had to double up this episode today. Apologies on our end. There's nothing going on with the pod. We're not, you know, dropping off, or we don't plan on making the delays and a missed episode a thing. We did miss the episode against Milan. Obviously, we're doubling up on today, so it's not, you know, typically the full hour for each game. We understand that. We are working this thing out. Our schedules are our schedules. You both work, you know, extremely hard doing what we do outside of this podcast. We do deal with, you know, time zone differences. And also, you know, for our subs, they're not always available. Our you know, the typical guys that we bring on. Nima's got a lot going on. Nick Diani has his own podcast as well. So, you know, yeah, maybe we didn't rise to the occasion on this specific week, but won't be the case moving forward. We're going to do our best to mitigate that, you know, find other people that we can have jump on if one of us is not able to make it. But just wanted to say, apologize for the delays here. We're not going anywhere. It was just a rough few days schedule wise, Easter holiday, all that good stuff.
I mean, and it wasn't easy. Like we had a game midweek Wednesday. I couldn't just like leave work to go record. I wanted to, believe me. I even tried to like bring my mic into work to try to be able to do it in my office, but unfortunately I just could not step away and have that time to be able to really devote to the pod, unfortunately. Not that I don't want to. But yeah, it was just an unfortunate case. It's like Alessandro said, this isn't going to be the norm. This isn't going to be like some thing where we're leaving or, you know, just going to drop off and not really care. Like, not the case at all. So,
yeah. Yeah. All right. And then we'll see you midweek for the Coppa Italia, in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini. Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.